Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the church is precious in your sight, and that your purposes for your church are great. And we pray that you would reveal more of that to us during these minutes together. Pray that you would build us up in our faith, in our fellowship, and pray that you send us out to live as your church for your glory in the week ahead. Amen. I wonder, what do we think of when we think about the local church? What place do the Allenby churches, St. Peter's and St. Mark's, have in our thinking and our feelings about our life as a Christian, about our Christian service, about our outreach into the community? Just take a moment to think about that. I guess the answer to those questions would be slightly different for each one of us. Some might say the local church is central to those things, to our life, to our outreach into the community, and so on. Others might say it's off at the margins. And this question is particularly relevant, isn't it, after the year that we've had. For much of the past year, we haven't been able to meet physically, or if we have, we've had severe restrictions placed on us. And it may be some of us have thought, do I need the local church? Or even if I do, is it enough to meet online? And of course, for those of us, for us meeting here this morning at St. Peter's, it's particularly relevant as we think about the St. Peter's building being closed for the next few weeks. We've just started a new series, Equipped, thinking about the life of service as Christians, why we serve, and also some of the key Christian truths we need to be aware of as we serve. And as we go through the series, we'll pause several times to emphasise a few key truths of the Christian faith, what I've called truths to share and sustain. And if you weren't with us last week, there is a resources handout for the whole series at the back, so do grab one of those on the way out. Last week we thought about the first of those truths, being cross-centred, and today we're thinking about another one, the place of the local church. We're going to see that the church is central to God's plans for the world. We're going to see that God works through local churches, and I hope as a result we're going to be encouraged as we seek to serve God as his people in and through the local church. We're going to start by looking at what the book of Ephesians has to say about the church. Then, like last week, we'll come on to one of the points of the Evangelical Alliance Statement of Faith, and then we'll think about what it means for us here today. And as I've prepared, I've realised there's a huge amount to say, and so I would, again, commend the handout to you. Do make notes as we go. Do take it away, look up the verses, think about what's on there. So hopefully over time it'll all fit together. So, first of all, the teaching, the church in God's purposes. The book of Ephesians is a remarkable book. Some of us will remember we looked at it in detail back in 2017. And you can follow up the sermons on the website if you would like to. And it has a big vision. It sets out what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is doing in the world. That his great plan is to bring unity to all things on heaven and on earth under Christ, and all for God's glory. You see that in chapter 1, verse 10. And the church is central to that plan. And that shouldn't surprise us because the church is Christ's body, precious to God. That's our first sort of little point from Ephesians. The church is Christ's body, precious to God. This is what Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Isn't that remarkable? The Father appointed Christ head over all things, everything in the universe, everything in the spiritual places, placed him head over everything for the church. That is, for the benefit, for the blessing of the church. But this makes perfect sense, because the church is Christ's body. And as we see in Ephesians chapter 5, the church is also Christ's bride. You see, the church is deeply precious to God. In fact, in verse 18 of chapter 1, it's described as his glorious inheritance, the thing that he values above everything else. Of all the things in the universe and in the spiritual world, the church is the most precious to God outside of the life of the Trinity itself. It's worth making clear that Paul's talking primarily about the universal church. That is, all God's people, all those trusting in Christ, united to him by faith throughout the world and throughout history. But if these things are true of all of God's people, they're also true of the local church, the local outpost of heaven, if you like. The Bible talks about the church in two main ways, the universal church and the local church. And Paul's writing to these Ephesian Christians very aware that they meet in local churches. And it goes without saying, Paul's not talking about buildings here, he's talking about people. It's wonderful to have buildings to meet in, but the church are the people. And we'll be reminded of that over the next few months as we have to meet somewhere other than the St. Peter's building. But I do hope we'll make every effort to keep meeting together, because the church is the people. So the church, universal and therefore local, is Christ's body, precious to God. And it's worth pausing there, because in our culture, so easily we think of ourselves first and foremost as individuals, don't we? We think of our salvation as individuals. And it's right, we are saved individually. We are children of God through personal faith. But Ephesians reminds us we relate to Christ as a body. We are together the bride of Christ. And therefore it's precious that we think of ourselves. It's vital that we think of ourselves as a body. So let me ask, do we see the church in that way? Do we see ourselves in that way? Do we see the local church as precious to God? Do we see being members of the church as fundamental to our identity? The second big thing we see about the church in Ephesians is that the church is united through Christ's saving work. And we see this in our reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says there were two big problems for us Gentiles, that is non-Jews, who weren't God's people. The first problem is that we were cut off from God's people, a horizontal problem, if you like. The second problem was that we were cut off from God because of our sin, our God rejection, a vertical problem. So verse 12 on the sheet. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So there was a horizontal problem relating to others and a vertical problem relating to God. But Christ's death on the cross, says Paul, has dealt with both of those problems. Have a look at verse 15. Second half of verse 15. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Do you see, at the cross, God has brought together the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, and has reconciled both of them to himself. The cross deals with the horizontal problem and the vertical problem. So there is one united body, the church, made up of believing Jews and believing Gentiles in right relationship with God. And if you're with us today physically or watching online, and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, that this is where the Christian life starts, being reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus. You don't have to prove yourself to God or make yourself acceptable to God. Jesus has already done everything necessary to bring us back to God. So do keep joining us on a Sunday, or ask about other ways you can find out more about this wonderful news. Then in the final few verses of this first reading, Paul talks about the result of what Christ has done. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Isn't it wonderful language? Fellow citizens, members of God's household, a holy temple, a dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. The church has been united through Christ's saving work. And what we need to realise is, in bringing Jew and Gentile together, God was bringing together the two most divided groups in human history, so that he's united all who trust in Christ, whatever our human differences, male, female, Israeli, Arab, people of every colour, pro-Brexit, anti-Brexit, pro-Johnson, anti-Johnson, whatever our differences, united in one body through faith. Just notice before we move on, the key role of God's word, of the Bible. We saw it in verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The church is built on Scripture and the true Christ as revealed in Scripture. And that means we need to take care in recognising the church, because it may be there are groups of people claiming to be God's church, but who've rejected Scripture and Christ as revealed in Scripture. And in that case, they may claim to be the church, but they are not part of the true church. Well, the third thing Paul says in Ephesians about the church is that God's wisdom is displayed through the church as a united heavenly outpost. And we're turning here to chapter 3, verse 10. And as I say, I will encourage you to look these verses up later on. But chapter 3, verse 10, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Also, that right now, in the present time, God's wisdom is being put on display through the church. It's like there's a cosmic exhibition put on by God to show his wisdom. And the centerpiece of the exhibition is the church. Who's looking in at the display? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, the spiritual forces we can't see, including evil spiritual forces, Paul talks about in chapter 6. But if God's wisdom is being displayed to them, presumably it's also being displayed to people on earth. In fact, Jesus said as much in John chapter 13 when he said that by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How's God's wisdom being put on display? Well, we've already seen, haven't we? Through the cross and the power of the Spirit, God has united that which nothing else could unite. Just look around you. What other organisation can bring together this kind of disparate group of people? Only the cross and God's Holy Spirit. Fourthly, the church as Christ's body growing to maturity. The church is a body, and because it's a body, it's dynamic, it's growing. How does it grow? Well, Paul tells us in chapter 4, it grows as its members live out the unity that we have. It grows as the word of God is fed to the body. It grows as each part of the body, each member, carries out the work God has given to us. And we could spend another sermon talking about that, but we won't. You can look up the references on the handout. So that's what Ephesians has to say. Then briefly, let's look at the Evangelical Alliance statement that really focuses on the church's work on earth. So this is what it says. The church, the body of Christ, both local and universal, the priesthood of all believers, given life by the Spirit and endowed with the Spirit's gifts to worship God and proclaim the gospel, promoting justice and love. And we've talked about lots of this already, but here are just a few things it adds. So it talks about the members of the church as a priesthood of all believers. And you find that language in 1 Peter 2. And it's saying that we're all priests. It's not just me, the vicar. I'm not just the only priest around here. We're all priests. That is, we all have access to God and we all represent God here on earth. We all have a role to play. Talks about the Spirit's gifts, and we'll think more about that in a future week. And it talks about the purposes of the church as worshipping God, proclaiming God, and promoting justice and love. And those last two purposes really come out of the Old Testament's teaching on justice, that we should all be concerned for justice. Micah, for example, is all about that. And also Jesus' teaching that we are salt, we're to be salt and light in the world. So that's the teaching. Let's move on in these last few minutes and think about what this means for us here at the Anglebay Churches. So first, how we view ourselves and the local church. The local church can often seem weak and insignificant, can't it? Maybe we've thought numbers are lower since lockdown. Maybe we've thought about how to many in the community the church is irrelevant. Maybe we've been aware at a national level of issues in the church and how lots of people are disillusioned with it. Maybe we've wondered after months of not meeting physically if we need to meet. Well, I hope our quick run through Ephesians has helped us to see with new eyes, with spiritual eyes. The church is precious to God. It's Christ's body. The local church is a local outpost of heaven. It's the main way God reveals his wisdom in the Anglebay communities. For me personally, for you personally, one of the most important things about us is that we're part of the Anglebay churches. As it happens over the last few months, God's been showing me how right it is to have pride in the Anglebay churches, in my church family. The right kind of pride, the kind of pride that the Apostle Paul had in God's people. It's right for all of us to have godly pride, a contented, joyful, positive view of our church family. Second, God works primarily in and through the local church. We've already said it's very easy to think of ourselves as individuals, and it's easy to think of our Christian life and our service in that way. Well, I hope we've seen from Ephesians that we need to see all our Christian service in the context of the local church. Of course, there's a place for serving as an individual. That's what we're doing when we go to work. It's what we're doing when we serve our family or share our faith with our family, or we serve someone in the community or join a community group. But even then, it's always good to ask the question, how does this connect to the local church? Or how can I introduce these people to the local church? It might also mean bringing my priorities and my decisions under the leadership of the church, talking things through with a life group leader or a warden or me. So I, as vicar, talk decisions and my own priorities through with the wardens and the church councils, because I also need to come under the authority of the local church. Now, of course, there's a danger that a church leadership can be too overbearing. We need to be wary of that. It's vital the church is a safe place for everyone, and that's why safeguarding is so important. And if you have concerns about anything going on in the life of the church, I encourage you to pass them on, in the first instance, to tell Joe Hepworth, our safeguarding officer. But there's also an opposite danger in our culture, and that is making decisions completely on our own, independently, without any regard for the church. And hopefully we can see from Ephesians that's also not appropriate. Thirdly, Christian service is a team game. Over the last few years, we've encouraged people to serve in teams. We have the warden team, the finance team, the church councils, the youth and children's team, the buildings team, just to name a few. And I think on the whole, people have found that that's hugely encouraging because it means everything doesn't depend on one person. We can work together and support each other. Of course, there still need to be people who take an oversight of an area, but even then, they have other people they can turn to and get advice from. And again, as it's a team game, every member is needed. Think back to that famous passage in 1 Corinthians 12. We are a body. Every part of the body is needed. There's no place for one person saying, I'm not needed, or my abilities and gifts are less important than that person. Or indeed the other way around, looking down on somebody else. Every member, every person is needed. As Paul finishes that reading from Ephesians 4, the body builds and grows itself up in love as each part does its work. And then finally, evangelism is a team game. In everything we do in our Christian service, sharing our faith is perhaps sometimes the key way in which we might think we have to go it alone. After all, we might have opportunities with family or at work, and there aren't other Christians there. But even in sharing our faith, if we can, it's good to work in teams. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. The Apostle Paul always worked with a team. And it's great to be looking for ways to work with others in sharing our faith. Maybe inviting someone to meet with Christian friends, or I was hearing just the other day about someone who's been sharing their faith with a colleague, and they introduced that colleague to another Christian at work, and they're now studying the Bible together. Praise God. So even evangelism is a team game. Well, we've covered lots of ground. Why don't we just take a few moments to look through the handout and maybe pick one or two things you're going to commit to thinking about more in the week ahead as we reflect on how precious the church is and how important the church is in God's plans for the world. Let's just reflect for a moment or two. God, we praise you for all that you've done to create, to form the church, to unite disparate groups together and with yourself through the cross. We praise you that your wisdom is made known to the world and to even spiritual powers through the church. Pray that you'd help each one of us to see how precious the church is and to see our own place in that. And we pray it for your glory.